Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today, and we'd like to welcome you to The Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, September the 13th, 2021. We welcome each of you today to this broadcast, and I pray it will be in some way a blessing and an encouragement to you. Regrettably, I have some news today that I am so heartbroken to have to share with you, but I must share it with you. I hope I have your undivided attention. I hope you're listening closely. And what I'm going to have to share today grieves my spirit profusely. It breaks my heart. Needless to say, I am deeply disappointed, but it's out of my control. It's something that I cannot control. I believe God in some way is working this to my good for whatever reason. But in the last week, all of the speakers for the revival meeting have called and counseled on coming. Now, that breaks my heart profusely because I'm not going to be able to have this revival meeting because I cannot control these circumstances. I was praying the other day before I got this bad news. And while I was praying, the Lord reminded me of a prophecy given to me back in 1998. That's 23 years ago. And in that prophecy, the Lord said, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to trust me and be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, as most of you know, back in April of 2019, I canceled that meeting because of the strict mandates that were put out for COVID. It broke my heart then. It breaks my heart even more now. All of the surrounding counties around me within the 20-county area have already gone back to mask mandates. I was determined. I was adamant. I was unyielding to have to capitulate in this meeting. I was going with this meeting no matter what. One of my strong suits in life is determination, discipline. But sometimes God has a way of putting roadblocks and stopping the direction that we might be going. And many times we don't fully understand why God is doing what he is doing. As I shared with you last week, the last 2 years in this ministry have been 2 years of nothing but absolute vexation, torment, and adversity. I don't get on here and talk about it. I hardly ever mention anything about my personal trials and tribulations and struggles. But nevertheless, just like you, I am faced with difficulties every day of my life. I was reminded of a scripture this morning in prayer. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, we all have thoughts. We all have aspiration. We all have things that we want to accomplish and do. But at the end of the day, if you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God, God is the one who orders your steps. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, though he fail, He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Joseph's brothers had a plot, a plan, and they devised it. Their initial plot and plan was to kill Joseph physically. But see, God, unknowingly, got involved in their scheme. And so when he was in the pit, the caravan of Ishmaelites were coming that way. And where do you think they were headed? They were headed to Egypt, exactly where God wanted Joseph to be. So they devised their way. A man's heart deviseth his way. They devised what they thought was a plan. But God got in their steps. Unknowingly, they changed their minds. They sold Joseph into slavery, and they thought that would be the end. And you know the close in Genesis chapter 15. After Jacob died, they sent a messenger and said, Joseph, we know now you're going to get even with us. The father's dead. Retribution, we know, will come from you. And Joseph's reply was so powerful. He said, you still don't understand. You still don't get it. God sent me before you to save lives, not to destroy. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, let me say this today. I don't want anyone to have any ill feelings toward the speakers. Russ, Jimmy, Paul, I don't want there to be any ill feelings toward these brethren. Now, they've not talked to each other, so it wasn't because one decided to go this way and coerced another. These men have just phoned me, emailed me, and said, I am so hurt, but I feel like this is what I must do. And you can't hold four services a day. I can't, and minister. And so I was left with no choice but to cancel the revival meeting. I am profusely disappointed. I would be derelict. I would be dishonest if I said to you right now that I am not discouraged. I am discouraged. I went to pray this morning. It wasn't easy to pray. It was hard to pray. It was difficult to pray. But I prayed nonetheless. I believe God is, in his sovereignty, protecting us from something. And again, I pray that you do not have any ill feelings or will toward the brethren. And I pray you don't have any ill feelings and will to me. We're going to refund all the money just like we did last time. I'm an honest Christian. I must do the right thing. But I cannot control when the speakers say we don't feel like we're supposed to come at this time. And they gave reasons. Some was related to COVID. Some was to personal health. And I feel such a liability and a responsibility. And I ask you to be forgiving and patient with me. I did not want this. I wanted to go on with God. Yes, I will go on with God. But I wanted to have this meeting because I want to see people edified and strengthened and come to the saving grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's no doubt in my mind, God took this out of my hands. And he reminded me, I must walk by faith. I must trust him and be led by the Holy Spirit. And Brother William Jackson, I hope and I pray that you're not disappointed and that you do not get discouraged. I know how adamantly you wanted to come and be in this meeting and for me to lay hands on you and to water baptize you. But I know weeks ago, I just kept sensing an uncertainty in my spirit. Just troubled. I had a dream last night that I was being overflooded with water. And everything I was doing to save myself was not helping me. Everything I went to do to save myself from being flooded and drowned was not helping me. Now, I believe there's an application there that the enemy has come against me like a flood. Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. In this flood that I was in, I was doing everything that I could to get out of the water, evacuate the water from around me, but somehow every one of my efforts, the water was coming back against me. But the Bible said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. And I believe God will do that. And again, I am very, very sorry for what has happened. And I would to God I could do something to ameliorate, to make it better. But in my heart, America is on the precipice of another measure of judgment in this nation. Those of you who have followed me for 22 years, 23 years, when God gave me the revelation, I did a series entitled The Coming Fall Events. That judgment would come in the fall of the year. I remember distinctly in August of 1998, I first taught this publicly. God had showed me, God had put it in my heart. But I taught I got the revelation in August of 1998, but in August of 2001, I taught it on the air publicly. And of course, 9/11 happened just a few weeks afterwards. I've come to understand God is going to judge America in the fall of the year. Of course, our revival meeting was scheduled for the fall of the year. And I cannot predict what year God will judge, but it will be in the fall of the year. And I've come to that conclusion through many Bible verses. One of them is Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. If you will go and you will look, Israel went into Babylonian captivity and the fall of the year. 70 years later, this is a historical accurate account. 70 years later, October the 12th, 539 BC, Belshazzar and his kingdom was taken down. Darius, the Medo-Persian king, came in and took down Babylon in the fall of the year. That's how you know Israel went into captivity in the fall of the year. For when the fall of 70 years came again, it was in the fall of the year. And of course, Darius, the Medo-Persian king, seized Babylon, destroyed it, took over it. And that's why in Jeremiah 29:11, God said, my thoughts toward you are not evil, but good to an expected end. You see, God knew exactly when he would deliver Israel out of the Babylonian captivity. They were in captivity for 70 years because of their willful disobedience. And in that 70th year, the Medo-Persian Empire came in and took down the Babylonian Empire. Again, let me say today, I am sorry. I apologize that we're not going to be able to have this meeting. It has increased my workload even so to contact the people in the video that we had scheduled to do the recording, the videoing of the meeting, the audio, the building. All of these things now I've got to go back and I've got to straighten out. And I covet your prayers during this time. I'm not asking for you to feel sorry for me. I'm asking you to understand. That's all I'm asking. It grieves my heart. It breaks my spirit to no end to have to do this. But it happened in such a way I have absolutely no control. God has a way of getting you out of the way and getting you out of somewhat you think you're in control mode. He gets you out of that. He's God. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I've learned to not fight God. Let God's will be wrought. We pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Again, we deviseth our plans, our way. But in the end, Solomon said, "But the Lord directeth his steps." God will direct us. Now, let me say this before we get back into the Word of God today. This COVID garbage is relentless, and it's an element wherein the Antichrist spirit seeks to wear us out. Everyone is tired of dealing with this. Let me admonish you today and give you some wisdom, if I may. If this COVID does what I think it's going to do, there's going to be a re-shutting down of meat packing companies, toilet paper, paper towels. All of a sudden, you're going to see a quick increase of shortages. You've got to be prepared for your family and your loved ones. Make provision, make preparation. Don't get caught in a compromising disposition. Don't do it. Don't do it. Pray, ask God, "What must I do? What must I do?" Now, with this having happened to me, which is totally out of my control, and believe you me, all the brethren were very apologetic. They understand what it meant to call me, contact me, and say, "This is a problem, that's a problem, I can't come." And of course, I understand. I would never put undue pressure on these men of God. I understand. I've said it all my life as an adult male, as an adult Christian male, a man has got to do what a man thinks is right. You've got to do what you believe is right. And I hope no one is offended. I hope no one is hurt. If you have suffered financially, in making preparation to come to this revival meeting, I want to make you whole just like I did last time. We paid for several plane tickets two and a half years ago. I'm a responsible, ethical, moral Christian man before I'm a preacher or anything else. You tell me what you have suffered to come to this meeting, I want to make you whole. I'll take it out of my personal pocket to make sure you are made whole. I'm not going to ever do anything that's conniving, that's crafty, that's subtle, that is any element of chicanery in my life. I want clean hands and a pure heart. That's my heart. And I regret this. I regret this terribly. And again, I hope and I pray that you have no ill will or feelings toward the brethren who said, "We just can't come for different reasons." This is by no means a conspiracy. These men have not talked to each other. They don't know each other that well. But I brought in men that I believed would minister and pour oil and wine into our hearts and into our lives. Am I discouraged? I told you I was. Am I disappointed? Yes, I am. But I still trust God. As I said, the Holy Spirit prompted my heart several weeks ago in prayer. And I knew when he reminded me of the prophecy, something was up. Why do you refresh my mind? Why do you bring back to my remembrance, walk by faith, trust in you, and be led by the Holy Spirit. I knew then God was up to something, but I stayed persistent. I stayed steadfast. And then one by one, I'd get a phone call, I'd get an email, and they were so remorseful and so sorrowful that they had to bow out. But in the manner in which it transpired, God took it out of my hands. There's nothing I can do. What can I do? Nothing. I'm left vulnerable. I'm left to tie up 100 loose ends. But that's okay, because I tell the Lord, spend me like currency. Spend me as you will. I have no purpose in life except it be for my Lord. My servitude is all to Christ. And so I do covet your prayers. I do pray that you will remember me and that you will pray for me. And I pray and I ask for your forgiveness. And please don't be hurt. Please don't be offended, because it's out of my hands. Now, let me say this again. I have a very uneasy feeling about this fall. Some would say, well, it's because of what all that's happening to you. Yes, there's truth in that. But our nation becomes more vile, more evil. Our president leaves citizens in Afghanistan and lets down the border wall regarding Mexico. And this is all by design. As one person said, Biden looks like a crash dummy. You know the dummies they put in cars? Feckless, inept, incompetent. Doesn't know where he is and what's going on. This is by design. And I'll quote it again as I quoted it months ago. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of tears shed in the coming weeks. I'm afraid there's going to be suffering. There's going to be pain. And all of those who are sitting around waiting for the rapture of the church are going to be so sadly disappointed when adversity comes in and they're still here and they're witnessing destruction and chaos and all sorts of things taking place. And you know me, I am not a fearmonger. There's too much of that going on. There's so many people that are just purveyors of fear, 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 fear. We're told in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. My job is to edify the body and win the lost. That's the two things I'm supposed to do. I've preached about persecution. I've preached about the coming darkness. Remember, it was Joe Biden who said, it's going to be a dark winter, I believe was his words. Pray. Seek God. You see, it doesn't matter what happens in this life so much as the only thing that does matter is, are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you washed in the blood? Are you sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, the redeeming of the body? I'm saved now, you're saved now. But the body is going to be redeemed and put on incorruption and immortality. Again, I apologize. I'm sorry and I regret what has happened. But again, it's beyond my control. I did everything I could. But God, in His sovereignty, has taken this matter out of my hands. And there's nothing I can do. If I could, I would do it. If there was anything that I could do, I would do it, but I can't. It's not in my hands. And all of these men are godly men. They did not do this to hurt me. They did not do this to harm me, to injure me. Russ was so apologetic, but he just felt at this time he needed to take care of himself. And that's all I'll say. I'm not going to share what he shared with me, but he knows what we're doing is of God because he was in the last meeting. And so it is. And so I apologize to everyone. And we're going to refund every dollar. And if you were harmed or injured in any way by a reservation and they won't give your money back, a plane ticket, you can't get your money back, you let me know. I'll do the right thing. I did it last time. I'll do it this time. Yes, it is discouraging. When David got back to Ziklag, the city was burned down. The people wanted to stone David for what had happened. And he suffered just like they suffered. But they wanted to stone the man of God. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that word encouraged in the Hebrew means David physically, spiritually attached himself to the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He attached himself to the Lord to get spiritual nourishment and strength. And he prayed and said, God, should I go after the enemy? God said, go, and thou shalt recover all. I am a believer in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever God's plan is, whatever God's will is, we want to conform to that. Sometimes it's not what we want. As Solomon said, a man deviseth his way, but God directs his steps. We make our plans. God says, I love you and I thank you for what you're doing, but that's not the right way at this time. And God chooses another path, another direction. Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him initially. So God put him in the pit. I feel like I'm in the pits right now. The place I'm at is the place of being in the pits. This is the pits. But see, God was saving Joseph from murder. And when he was sold and put in Potiphar's house, it looked like things were going to get better. But it didn't. It just got worse. It just got worse. And so he had to go to prison. We never see Joseph complaining. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bicker. I'm not going to grumble. I'm going with God. I'm going with God in spite of it all. So on this 13th day of September, this Monday, I ask for your understanding. Again, I'm sorry. I'm apologetic for what has happened. You have no idea the measure of disappointment that fills my heart. But I leave it in the hands of God. God is sovereign. God loves us, every one of us. And I've come to understand God always wants the best for us. It may not look like that. When a child has been disobedient and a child has been disciplined, the child doesn't like it. Now, I'm not saying God is disciplining me, chastening me. I don't believe that because there's no reason to chasten me for the way I've been living. I promise you, I've been living right. I'm not one of those out there who curse like sailors and drink liquor and carry on and get on the microphone and talk about Jesus. I don't live like that. I know what this is. It's adversity. It is adversity. And many times when adversity comes, we sometimes don't understand it. But I do believe when adversity comes, it's for a reason. When God allows that measure of adversity to come, there's a reason, and it's to help us. It's to better us. The other day when I was reading in Isaiah 30, verse 20, he said, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Bread of adversity, water of affliction. So if I'm eating the bread of adversity, drinking the water of affliction, so be it. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Again, I apologize for what's happened. I ask for your understanding. I ask for your forgiveness. I want to have meetings where we're together and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I'll leave it in God's hands, and that's all I can do at this time. And I do covet your prayers, that you will pray for me, that God will bring a healing balm on everyone, every individual that wanted to come and be there. I know God has a plan, and I'm going to patiently wait upon the Lord. I want to go back today to Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now the word infirmity here speaks directly to our flesh. The weakness, the fragility, the infirmity of our flesh, I can certainly relate to that today. Paul is addressing in a very simplistic way the weakness and the fragility of our humanity. We may not want to admit it, but we are all very fragile. Some have been shattered. Some have been profusely broken. And so Paul is trying to edify and strengthen the church here at Rome. And he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, because of the weakness, because of the fragility of your humanity, your flesh. Paul declares, before our conversation or our conversion, our lifestyle, we previously yielded our members as instruments to uncleanness, to works of iniquity. Now that we are redeemed, we yield our members as instruments to righteousness and for holiness. Our lips can sing praise unto God, or our lips can bring forth cursings, evil words, evil phrases. Our hands can be used to lift up and praise and magnify God, or to strike men, to harm, to hurt, and to injure. Our members are now the members of Christ. Let me say, it takes little effort to commit sin, but it takes great discipline. It takes great restraint to not sin or to yield to the temptation of sin. Anyone can capitulate, surrender, roll over, and just give themselves over to the temptation of sin. But it takes great strength through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God to resist the temptation and overcome that temptation. Temptations are real. Temptations are powerful. And a spirit, listen to me, a spirit of temptation can come over your flesh, and it's as though your flesh is being driven to commit the deed, the act of sin. It's almost as though something has happened to you, and something has. The spirit of lust, the spirit of covetousness, whatever that it might be, that is a spirit. And it seeks to seduce and take over your life. and bring you into a state, a place, a position, a posture where you capitulate and you commit the deed, you commit the act of sin. Thus, Satan wants to see you suffer because of the act of sin that you refuse to resist. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. We have to learn to resist Satan and sin. And Satan never gives up. He's ruthless. He's relentless. He's ever untiring in his attack against the body of Christ. Thus, when you least expect it, the fiery dart of hell will pierce, permeate your mind, your body, your spirit. And that temptation, if you are not careful, will overcome you. And you will surrender, you will capitulate, you will commit that act, that deed that Satan brought to you. Satan brings temptation. James 1:12, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he ever any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That is what Satan wants, death in your life. Now, you may not fall over dead physically, but spiritually you're dying because you are sinning and you're severing the life of Christ that should be in you. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of Christ, the life of Christ breaks that chain, that fetter, that shackle of sin. Listen, Satan wants sin to have dominion, authority, or lordship over your life. I've prayed this verse from the first time I remember reading this verse. Psalms 119:133, order my steps in thy word, let no iniquity have dominion over me. That word dominion means authority or lordship. Don't let sin have authority, lordship, or dominion over my life. Lord, don't let it happen. Don't suffer it to happen. If it happens, it is because it was your choice. It was your decision. You gave place. You gave place to the devil. You gave place to the enemy. And in so doing, he took that position. He took that posture. He took that place. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place, a position, a posture in your life. He will set up shop. He will break you down. Then he will take you down. He is a master manipulator, and he seeks to destroy that which God has put in your life. He wants to rob you of the blessing of God. So Paul says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now we don't hear the word sanctification preached, taught, elaborated on. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And it simply means to be set apart. Psalms 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. When you determine to set your life apart for Christ, to serve him, to love him, to honor him, and to obey him. When you do that, God sets you apart as well. God sets you apart as well. Again, that's Psalms chapter 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. God takes the godly, the sanctified, the dedicated, the consecrated. He sets them apart for himself. There are things that you set apart for yourself. You may say to your spouse, this is yours and this is mine. You're setting it apart for yourself. God sets apart those who are his. We are different, we are unique, and we are separated. Why? Because holiness demands separation. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God calls us to set us apart. God chooses us. Few choose him. Few choose Christ. But he chooses those who choose him and set themselves apart for his service. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto all good works. God has a lot he wants to do. But he has problem in finding vessels of honor that are sanctified. Paul told Timothy, if a man therefore shall purge himself from these, you have to do some things yourself. You have to dedicate yourself. God's not going to make anyone dedicate themselves unto him. We dedicate ourselves to God because that's what we want. We want to be dedicated. We want to be separated. We want God to use us. But God says, you must be set apart for my service. Oh, everybody wants God to use them. But are they willing to pay the price of sanctification to be set apart expressly for God? James said, sweet and bitter water cannot come out of the same well. How is it you say you're a Christian one minute, cursing, swearing, lying, cheating, drinking the next minute? James said, these things ought not be. There's something wrong with this. Something terribly wrong with this. So Paul addresses the infirmity, the fragility, the weakness of our humanity and says you got to yield yourselves now unto Christ. You got to yield your members, servants to righteousness. Remember, we taught on this some weeks ago, Romans 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. When you yield yourself to sin, you then become the servant of the devil. You don't want to be a servant of the devil. You want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving Christ. It's all about serving Christ at the end of the day. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When people are living in sin, they have no righteousness in them, because whatever righteousness any of us possess, it's not ours, it is his righteousness. His right doing, his right spirit is working through us, thus we become righteous. You cannot become righteous of your own will. You cannot become righteous through your own works. You become righteous through what Jesus did. Let me quote it again, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want you to get that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You can't do anything in yourself to become righteous. All you can do is yield yourself to his righteousness, and then his righteousness will work through you. That's what must be done. Paul is making it very plain, very clear, very pristine. Before our conversion, We were the servants of sin. We were alienated. We were estranged from the righteousness of Christ. When I was backslidden, there was no righteousness in me. None. Why? I was a servant of sin. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You just can't do it. Mammon is money. So many people say they're Christians, but they serve the God of mammon. They serve the God of money. When you are a sinner, sin is dwelling in you. When you are a Christian, righteousness is dwelling in you. Righteousness. I got to tell the truth. I got to do what's right. I got to live my life in righteousness. My, if everybody just sought to live righteous, how great, how much more powerful our nation would be. But we've become a nation of liars, a nation of cheaters, a nation of dishonesty. Look at Fauci. All the lies, and the congressional hearings, all the lies. The truth is coming out. It was all lies, folks. Sad, isn't it? I said it, I don't know, 25 years ago. If everybody had to do one thing, what kind of a world would we be living in? And that one thing would be everyone has to tell the truth. Can you imagine how greatly and how vastly our world would change if everyone was telling the truth? Did you do that? Yes, I did. Did you take that? Yes, I did. Did you lie about that? Yes, I did. Can you imagine how quickly things could be corrected? How quickly things could be fixed? How many things would not go awry if people were telling the truth? Then you got to dig through all the garbage to find the truth. We got to do what's right. Verse 21, Romans 6:21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Paul came to understand a law, a principle, that when he sought to do well, evil was ever present with him. We'll see that in Romans chapter 7. Do we not understand there is no real fruit within the lives of evildoers? There's no fruit in the lives of evildoers. Righteousness must prevail in our lives. And if there's no Spirit of Christ living in you, then that which you do is evil. The manifestation of your life is evil. Now, if you want to define a life of destruction, a life of chaos as real fruit, go ahead. But if you got any common sense and understanding at all, you know at the close of the day that is not real fruit. Notice what Paul said. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Most of us did things while in sin that we are ashamed of. We are ashamed of the manifestations of our evil deeds. We are ashamed of the evil things our lives produced. We produced those things because sin was in us. Sin had a place of residence. You allow sin to remain in your mortal body and in your spirit, you'll suffer both physically and you'll suffer in the end spiritual death, eternal separation from God. It's like a man that drinks liquor for 35 years. He's having problems. body becomes sickly all the time. He goes to the physician. The physician says, I hate to tell you, but you have cirrhosis of the liver. See, that's sin physically working in the body. Or if someone is smoking and they get lung cancer, those are self-afflictions, self-induced into our lives. I just read the other day, young people that are smoking pot are more subject to heart attacks than any other age group. And you got people running around. I encountered this years ago. God gave us pot. It's okay to smoke it. Okay. God gave us cocaine too. See, that's the curse in the earth. It wasn't ever to be like that. God wants us to be in our right mind. Sadly, nothing good ever truly comes forth from people who live lives of sin. Look at our nation, folks. Look at the decrepitness. Look at the wickedness. And it's all because people are living in sin. I heard someone the other day on the news say, they're talking about gun violence in school. And they said, there was a day when children brought apples to the teacher, but today they're bringing guns. That's a great analogy. But let's think about it. When children brought apples and cookies and muffins and things to school to the teacher also said, let's pray and read the Bible. So they took prayer and the Bible out of the school, and now there's no apples coming in but guns. You can't educate your way out of sin. These people are really ignorant. They think more money, more education. I saw the other day, now there's a school bus shortage. They're going to pay parents to take their kids to school. I mean, this thing is off the rails. But in 1962-63, Madeline Murray O'Hare, she got prayer out of school. Where were my parents? Where were your parents? Why didn't people stand up and say, bless God, you take prayer out, we're not sending our kids to school? Something would have happened. But nothing positively happened because people, and I was taught this, you were taught this, don't get involved in politics. And that's why we're stinking, rotten, and corrupt as we are today. Why? Because we no longer have salt and light in our government. We don't have it. If you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, if you don't accept the finished work of Christ, you'll have spiritual death in the end. Spiritual death in the end. I'm going to pick this back up tomorrow in verse 22. Again, let me say in closing today, it is with deep sorrow and much pain that I have to cancel this revival meeting at Heritage USA in Fort Mill, South Carolina, but it is out of my hands. It is out of my control. The brethren, as I said, one by one, contacted me and said, we can't come, we can't come, we can't come. And God took it out of my hand. It's out of my hands. There's nothing that I can do, and I have deep sorrow and pain because I wanted people to be blessed. Maybe this will create a greater hunger and thirst in our life for righteousness. We've got to start standing in this hour and quit capitulating to the governmental things that are being pushed and forced upon the people of God. I don't want to see civil war. I don't want to see civil unrest, but I've preached it. And I said it's coming. It'll be a tragic day. But if we'll start seeking God, God has the power, God has the wherewithal to heal our land. But we have to pay the price. We have to pay the price for God to heal the land. Again, if you've been harmed or injured or suffered financially because of us having to cancel this meeting, let me know. I'll make you whole. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do that which is right. This is out of my hands. It's out of my control. But nevertheless, I will do the right thing. I will do the right thing because it is imperative that we do the right thing no matter what. And I thank you for your understanding. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your faithfulness. I really do. And in return, I want to be faithful in expounding, preaching, advocating the Word of God. I want to be faithful in that. I want to be faithful at my watch. When I come here to minister the Word of God, I want to be faithful in doing what God has called me to do. I thank you for your understanding, and I pray that you'll not have ill feelings or ill will toward the brethren. You know, when a man tells me, I can't come, COVID, I can't come because of my own health reasons, et cetera, et cetera. And I found it amazing that just suddenly they all came and said, hey, can't be there. And so I've got a lot of loose ends to fix, to take care of, to correct, to tie up, because it takes an enormous amount of effort to do this. And I don't look at my labor as being in vain. God will not forget the work and labor of love. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that ye have ministered and ye do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget. God is faithful. I said, God is absolutely faithful in all things. Let me encourage you to please pray. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in the scriptures. Spend more time in pursuit of God. God will help you. I said, God will help you if you'll go to Him. Let's don't be reckless. Let's don't be haphazard. Let's be faithful. Let's be dedicated. Let us be consecrated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're not going to have adversity. Listen, I believe the greater you serve God, the greater you love God, I believe the greater the adversity. But God has something in store for His beloved, for His redeemed. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great evening. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll pick this back up here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. May God keep you until then.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.